You heard the update. MSU has a new athletic director. We'll get to it later this hour, 7:35. The biggest challenge, the biggest focus, and yes, big questions ahead for the Spartan football program. We're talking Tarek Skubal, pulled after 90 pitches on Saturday. I'm not really sweating the fact that they lost the game. They won the series. They didn't score any runs. It might not have mattered anyway. But it is a bigger question for Tarek Skubal. If you're going to limit him, are you going to pay him? Do you feel comfortable handing $400 million to a guy who can't hit 100 pitches consistently? And maybe that's a limitation that he has physically or a philosophy that the organization has. Either way, are you getting bang for your buck? We gave you the numbers. Four times has he hit 100 pitches since the start of last year. A lot of the contemporaries, Skeen 17, Sale 17, Webb 19, Wheeler 22, Max Fried 18. Like, these guys are throwing deeper into games. Let's get to Alex in Ann Arbor. Alex, good morning.
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
What's up?
Yeah, so I actually like how Skubal doesn't go deep into games and wants me to want to have to extend, or like I would want to extend him because he doesn't go deep into games. Because you look at Corbin Burns yesterday. You look at Garrett Cole. What's he doing? If I know he's going to be healthy 9 of those 10 years, then yeah, let's do it.
Even for a guy that's never going to pitch or rarely pitches over 100 pitches, rarely gets out of the seventh inning.
Yes, because he affects more than just the game he starts. I would argue they win 1-0 yesterday because Hinch is confident to go to a rested bullpen with Cater struggling in the fifth inning. So, like, he's more than just the seven innings he's given you on 90 pitches.
There's no doubt about it. When he went 9 the previous Sunday, I mean, it stopped the bleeding. It switches momentum. It's more than just one start. The work he does to offset the bullpen, it's critical. I mean, they saw it last year when he was the only starter, the lone starter with chaos. We know his value to the organization,
yeah.
But it's getting to the point where he is going to be doing a mega deal, a deal that I would like to offer him. But when you see stuff like this, it does cause you to pause, right? If you go, well, what am I paying for and what am I getting? If I'm getting a guy that I rarely will let go over 100 pitches, is that going to change when they give him the extension? Or to his point, do they have to protect a 10-year investment right. And he's never going to go deep into ball games?
And I mean, what is, how many innings is he pitching? Is it 10% of what the Tigers are playing? Is it 13%? Is it 15%? And how much money do you want to wrap into that percentage? Because there's so much more that's going to happen when he's not even pitching, let alone not going deep into games.
And a lot of my problem from Saturday was the situation that, okay, well, if Briskey was your guy, well, wow, I'm going to blow an outing like this from Skubal on Bo Briskey, who is struggling this year, right?
Right.
And so you're kind of starting to sacrifice the game a little bit more. You're putting the game in doubt. Was there any thought given to, hey, how about this? We've skipped the Skubal start before, haven't we?
Yeah.
Or backed it up
one day.
Moved
it a day, yeah.
How about this? Okay, let's go out there and let him pitch the eighth, and I'm not pitching him against the White Sox, and he'll play against the Cubs.
Well, they already are doing that. He's not pitching against the White Sox.
Okay, so ESPN's wrong then.
Yeah, yeah. AJ clarified. AJ clarified. Or it seemed, one of the beat writers pointed it out. He's pitching Friday against the Cubs. They're already pushing him back a start, and he didn't go 100
exactly.
pitches. So, I mean, you could say they're babying him, and it's an organizational philosophy, and it's, you could even argue it's the right thing to do to get him to the finish line. It's more important to play at the end of the season, right, with Tarek Skubal healthy and fresh and raring to go.
Yeah.
But it's also a question of how much money are you going to pay a guy who you're, quote, babying.
Look, baseball is trending this way. You've provided examples of guys who have gone longer this year, but baseball is babying pitchers more and more every single day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, for the long term with the contract, it's not as much in play more than that's the way the game is. It's just, do you make him absolutely, like, do you go crazy with that contract? Like the 40 and 400 or whatever.
Right.
Like, to me, that's just getting out of control. And then it starts getting in the weeds with Boris and who he is as an agent. And, you know, look, he ain't being traded this trade.
No.
This doesn't start until after the offseason. And maybe there's some teams out there that, you know, will pay what maybe the Tigers shouldn't.
We're going to read some ticket texts, and we'll get some phone calls in the mix as well. 248-539-9797. Skubal 100 pitch thing is 1,000% on A.J. Hinch. Another one says it's the team not letting him go 100. He can. Reading way too much into 100 pitches, guys. Skubal is elite and will continue to be elite. Pay him. No questions asked. Johnny and Wixom.
So here, I'll give you one on Twitch. This is a reason to, you know, and his impact. And I get this. This is an argument for paying him. Look, if Skubal can go 7 innings with 2 runs or less and throw under 100 pitches, I expect the offense and bullpen to close it out. I don't need Skubal to throw over 100 pitches and go 9 innings unless there's games that mean much more.
Guys, are we even having this conversation if they won the game? That's from Mark on the ticket text. I'm having it regardless of winning and losing. I really don't care that they lost Saturday. I don't. They won 2 or 3 over the weekend. They're in first place. I'm not really sweating losing a Saturday game in late May. I'm not. It's a broader question about a 10-year commitment to a guy that you won't let throw 100 pitches or rarely do. I mean, not the way other aces and other Bulldogs get the baseball. It's something Verlander noted when he was in town last week. That's why it's coming up. It has nothing to do with winning or losing Saturday. It's about 90 pitches, and can you justify paying a guy who you're going to limit for the next decade?
Yeah, and one of the quotes that Verlander had was, to me, if I'm the Tigers and I've got the best pitcher in baseball, I want that out there as long as possible. Ride that horse. Hell yeah, that's the way I felt about it when I was pitching. And I'm curious what the conversations are, because we heard from Tarek Skubal, right?
Yeah.
And full faith in AJ, full faith in Chris Fetter, full faith in the organization. I'm sure as a competitor, you don't get to the end of games, whether it's we saw what he did in Cleveland and the emotion at the end of that game.
Yep.
We saw what it was when he had the Maddox, you know, last Sunday. You don't get to the end of the game and have that fire and don't think, you know, when AJ Hinch gives him the handshake, he's probably saying, come on, man, let me go one more.
I mean, he's the best pitcher in baseball. He has been for a year and a half, and he's done every single thing on the pitching mound, I think, in the last year and a half that Ohtani and Judge have done at the plate. The problem is he plays one time in 5 games versus those guys. This is a no-brainer if it's a position player. What? You wouldn't let that person walk in a million years, but because of his history with arms, I still think his overall resume makes it a little doubtful to give him that kind of a deal, because this is a window. I made this point to you, Jim, I think it was like a year ago now when he was starting to emerge as a Cy Young. He reminds me, not the same type of pitcher exactly, but of Cliff Lee. He's got a window. It's like a 5, 6, 7 year window, but it ain't JV like.
Right, it's not 10 years.
And then that's why JV's comments, I didn't care for much, because JV,
he's an anomaly. He's a freak.
He had Nolan Ryan's arm.
Right.
It was rubber.
Ticket textures. The team is called the Detroit Tigers, not the Detroit Skubals. If the bullpen shuts him down, we score a run in the 8th or the 9th, we're not even having this conversation. No, we are, because he still would have thrown 90 pitches. That's the point.
Yeah.
So Tom's point is he's the best pitcher in baseball. I agree. John, you agree. He's the best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah.
The best pitchers in baseball pitch deeper into ballgames than Tarek Skubal does. And I don't think it's a Skubal problem. The org doesn't value it that way. Well, if the org doesn't value it that way, then it's a contract conversation. If you don't think guys should throw 100-plus pitches, you don't think they should sign record-setting contracts, right? Isn't that a window into how the organization views pitching?
It feels like it. And, I mean, what's the difference for him? And this is where this is an AJ Hinch question. This is an organization question. If he comes out for the 8th inning and say he, you know, 3 up, 3 down, but it takes 15 pitches, what's the wear and tear? What's the risk of him going 105 versus 90?
Right.
Getting you to that 9th inning where then you bring in either Canely or Vest.
And if you have extras, you need
and
the
you
other
come
one.
Away with another win and you got 40 instead of 39.
How many Tigers have thrown over 100 pitches in the same time frame? I think it's an organizational mindset. I don't want that massive contract. I love Skubal, but it's a matter of time before a third arm event, and I wouldn't wish that on anyone. That's an unnamed ticket texter. Morning, guys. Not being able to score a run was the most annoying, but babying Skubal is also super annoying. Cookies is right. What if he makes a quick work of a couple quick outs? It was silly and annoying to pull him there. Texter says, 185 pitches, 16 innings, 0 earned runs the last 2 games. Way to create negative spin. Is it 2 o'clock already?
We're just asking the question.
How dare we?
Would you pay him 10 years, $400 million, if he is rarely, because he's only pitched 1 complete game in his career? And if the I mean, if the answer is, yeah, he's dominant through 7, and you should score a run in a game.
Mm-hmm. All right,
and you should have the ability to get 6 outs with your bullpen.
simplify this, though, a little bit. Again, the pitcher versus the everyday player thing, what I made about Ohtani and Judge and paying them. What, are you going to pinch hit for those guys in the eighth inning? Because that's the equivalent. It's not the equivalent. It's,
well, yeah, you're trying. Sure,
too many swings.
Yeah.
On the old...
He swung too much today.
Yes. On the... What's the injury? We've had a couple of injuries. The oblique. Yeah, we don't want to strain an oblique. Too many swings.
248-539-9797. They took 2 or 3 over the weekend. We've got some good stuff to talk about with the Tigers. Michigan State football conversation and the program and the athletic department as a whole coming up later in the hour. It's 97.1.
If you're unhappy with how you look, unhappy with how you feel, you avoid being in pitchers, maybe you don't want to... In the morning, you get dressed. You're like, man, these clothes used to fit a little bit better. I used to feel more comfortable. Do what I did and call the experts. At Ideal You, you could be 40 pounds lighter in just 40 days. And imagine what that would look like. Imagine what it would feel like. It's 40 days. It's just over a month. I know the program works because I lost 50 pounds in those 40 days with Ideal You. Book today, and Ideal You is going to give you a free body composition analysis. It's $150 value, absolutely free. Once you get that stat sheet, they're going to pair you with a weight loss coach, and you're going to design a plan together that will be successful. Book your free consultation right now at idealyou.us. Ideal You is different than other weight loss companies because it works, and it works fast. You can lose up to 40 pounds in 40 days and be happy taking pictures again, getting dressed in the morning, and just feeling good about yourself. Book your free consultation right now at idealyou.us to get your body composition analysis. $150 value, absolutely free.
Good morning, 97.1. We're talking about the Tigers, who took 2 of 3 over the weekend against the Royals. Low-scoring, close, nail-biter games. Playoff kind of games. Tigers just keep winning. That's another series. And they got the White Sox starting tonight. Parker Meadows may be here.
Mm-hmm.
We're waiting to see about a call-up. John, what's the other move?
If Meadows comes up, who's going down?
Yep.
I think it's... My initial reaction was... Justin Henry Molloy. I think you've got two options. It's either him or the guy that you brought up is Andy Ibañez. It seems like in terms of production and flexibility, it should probably be Ibañez, but I think Jahan's probably the guy that gets the bump down. And it's more than likely going to be one of those, well, this series, it's Jahan. Next series, it's Ibañez. And it could be, hey, that Toledo Express is just stays fired up for the near future.
Yeah, I think it will be Jahan. I'm occasionally a betting man. I think it's...
Or you are.
Occasionally. I think it'll be Jahan because he's got the options. I think, Andy, they may have to DFA. He might have to clear waivers. I don't think they're going to want to do that. I think it'll be Jahan.
Okay.
But you could make the case... From a production standpoint, Andy Ibañez isn't even hitting lefties. So why is he on the team? Now, they have some faith. He had the big home run against Hader in the postseason. But this year, he's hitting .237 against lefties with little to no power. And if you're saying, well, he can play third. Well, if Parker Meadows is back in center, I think Javi's going to end up playing some more third to keep his bat in the lineup.
Javi, McKinstry, you have options at third.
Yes. So I don't know why Andy's here if he can't hit lefties. Jahan's hitting lefties a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're making the call for hey, that tool in the toolbox for AJ Hinch, but I think because of roster management, it's more likely to be Jahan.
Yeah, and in the last month, he's had a couple of big hits. Opportunistic, he's not lighting the world on fire, not ripping the cover off the ball, but he has been very opportunistic and had some hits at the right times.
And they may say with Parker in center, it's one more outfielder. Jahan's only playing DH in outfield, and DH is crowded right now, so we don't have a spot for you. But it'll be one of those two guys.
Yeah.
Ticket text on this Scooble stuff. We brought it up. People aren't happy that we brought this up. It's just an observation. The one game they lost over the weekend, Scooble only threw 90 pitches. Could he have worked another inning? You would think so. Would it have mattered? I don't know. They didn't score any runs.
Right.
But it's one of those things we circle and go, huh, Scooble didn't throw 100 pitches again. And he never really throws 100 pitches. 4 times since the start of last year. He's won a Cy Young. He's the best pitcher in baseball. But the org cuts him off right around 95, 96 pitches. Does that at all give you pause when it comes to handing him a 10-year, $400 million contract if you're only going to have him throw so deep into games. You're going to limit his contributions to your ball club through your decisions. Should you really be forking over that kind of money? It made me pause when I went and compared him to everybody else. And it's like, oh, Skeens has thrown 17 games of over 100 pitches in the same time. You know, it's like, well, if we're going to limit our guy's greatness, should we be paying him?
Right. And so the argument is, okay, if you're the best pitcher in baseball, yes, you should get paid. But is he going to be the highest paid pitcher in baseball over the next decade? But you aren't going to use him like some of these other guys who would be paid less will be used.
Let's get to Dave in Clinton Township. Dave, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I was thinking Trey Sweeney might go down. He's a left-handed batter who's not hitting his weight, and the options for third are the same options for short. So I say send Trey down.
It's interesting, and I think that he would probably be the third option, a distant third option.
Because?
I think you get better, more consistent play out of him at short, and that's a defensive move versus, and we know that they love the defensive moves.
They do. Yeah, he's got more
upside defensively than I think Ibanez does at third.
So to your point about his production at the plate, I know he had a stretch in May. A stretch in May where Sweeney was swinging a good stick, but for the season, he's batting .225 with an OPS of .602, so there's no power, and he's actually, Baseball Reference, a minus war player. So he's not a guy that's locking down a position. I just don't think it's going to be him. I think Jahan makes more sense, and Ibanez makes more sense.
I agree.
All right, we're going to talk Michigan State football at 7:35, and John, you've challenge MSU fans. We do want their participation in the show. We'd like them to be awake and participating today because you have a new athletic director. And with that, this is a critical hire. Critical time for their football program and their athletic department. We'll get to it at 7:35. Let's get one more phone call in. Will in Ann Arbor. Will, you're on 97.1.
Yeah, you know, I was listening to this conversation around Scoobal's contract, and I was just thinking, like, the whole conversation saying, you know, we're limiting his greatness by taking him out after the sixth when he's only thrown, you know, 90 pitches or so. I just don't see this as a huge concern. You know, everyone does it in MLB. Who cares if he goes six or seven against the Royals in a regular season game? You know, Hinge is going to give him high leverage in the playoffs. I just don't really see how this factors into the conversation.
I don't believe he hit 100 pitches in the playoffs either. Now, that may have been his own performance, right? We gave him the grand slam in game five. But I don't think he's gone 100 in the playoffs either, Will.
But I mean, was that like a matchup thing, or like, are we really preserving his
arm? You're not preserving his arm. It's a playoffs. Well, he's your best pitcher, right? I mean, he shouldn't come out of the game until he's struggled or hit exhaustion, right? It's the postseason.
I totally agree. I just don't remember that being a big concern in the playoffs. It seemed like Hinch wasn't taking him out prematurely.
So I got it in front of me right now, because you're right. I mean, I don't off the top of my head remember it being a storyline. He pitched 88 pitches against the Astros in a win over six innings. He threw 92 pitches in a seven-inning win in Cleveland, the Tom Milliken game.
Yeah.
And then his final playoff start, he threw 84 pitches, six innings. That's where he gave up the grand slam. At that point, I understood taking him out of the game.
Mm-hmm. You know what I hear about the first two games?
What?
I heard a win.
They won, yes.
That tells me that Hinch was mixing and matching correctly, like the genius he is. And I'm not worried if he's taking the starter out. You know what I mean? Like, Scoobal's great, but we got a great bullpen, too. You know what I mean?
Well, the question isn't, is he great?
Right.
We
all know he's great.
The question is, are you going to pay him $400 million over the next decade?
How dare we?
Just asking the question.
I know. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, hundreds of peonies were cut and destroyed over the weekend at a popular U of M garden. Sad news, right? According to the staff at the Nicholas Arboretum Peony Garden, the destruction occurred early Sunday morning. There was about 250 peonies that on the north side of the garden that were just completely cut off. In addition to the flowers, there were about 100 paper signs as well that were like left throughout the area. However, no group or organization or anyone has taken credit for the incident. The director of the garden said what happened here was an act of disregard, not just for the garden, but for the community that cherishes it, even for life itself.
It's a real disappointment too, because those were summer peonies.
Yeah, they were expected to bloom next weekend or this weekend. Yeah. Yes. Okay,
I get it now.
Yeah.
Yes. Is that the
plural? I got it, Greg. I got it right away. Bobcat Bonnie's in Ferndale.
I would abruptly also close. Insert, this is why you have corrupted me.
Oh, okay.
I did
okay.
not make that connection.
Yeah, Heather's the one giggling about Chris Bubich to start the yeah. show today.
I wasn't giggling. I was like, that's his name? Bubich? Like an like yeah. it is,
that's a family name. It's a proud family, the Bubiches.
Which is fine. I'd never heard the name before. And it was just divided so perfectly into two words. And I thought, well, that's an interesting name.
It is summer.
Yes, it is.
Plenty of Bubich.
Anyway, Bobcat Bonnie's made the announcement on social media that today, Monday, June 2nd, would be the restaurant's last day in business. They'll open at 11. They're going to stay open till 10 p.m. or until they run out of food.
Okay.
So if they run out of food right away, that's when they're done. The closure comes after a string of closures for the restaurant. The Corktown location closed in March. Then there was one in Wyandotte, Ypsilanti, Clinton Township, Grand Rapids, all closed. There's only one remaining location. That's in Lansing. If you want tables, chairs, glassware, that goes on sale tomorrow. Okay. I mean, they're closing up, and it's gone. Yeah, the 2025 Grand Prix was a huge success, and it will be back in Detroit for years to come. This is great. The Grand Prix has signed a three-year contract with the Detroit City Council with an option for a fourth year. John, I don't know whose option that is. The Detroit City Council's or the Detroit Grand Prix, but that is on the table. It's there. So they'll be for sure on the streets of downtown Detroit through 2028, possibly 2029, depending on if that agreement is
You think
reached.
I'd ask you a question that you didn't have an answer to? Come on.
Nah, you never.
No.
So anyway, that's pretty cool, though.
It is.
And it sounds like there were a lot of people. It says the Grand Prix outsold its total 2024 ticket volume by Friday.
It seems like the move downtown has been a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been great. And I think as more people put it on their calendar as something that they want to continue to go to, it's only going to continue to grow.
Yeah. You might want to put this on your calendar to continue to go to because this is pretty cool. Ford Field welcomed a groundbreaking moment in Michigan high school sports Sunday as several teams competed for the state's first ever girls flag football championship.
And
how
who
about
was
that?
It?
St. Joseph, I believe, won, edged out Brighton 21-20.
What's the mascot?
The Bulldogs.
The Brighton Bulldogs.
Yeah. Mm,
Greg's alma mater.
I don't know, pretty cool event without a doubt. In 2023, the Girls High School Flag Football League started with just four teams, grew to 24 teams in 2024, then reached 41 participating schools this spring. Yeah. And it sounds like a lot more schools want to join as well. At least over 60 schools are interested in playing for 2026.
And John, the Lions have been really supportive of this stuff, right?
They have been. And the Lions, the NFL, Nike, they have made it as easy as possible and as cost effective as possible because they've donated through the three different organizations, obviously money for the officials, money for and equipment, uniforms. This is something that Ruby and Ellie have both been in for the last couple of years. So it is, I could not be more excited about something like this because one, it directly affects my kids, but to see more girls get excited about playing the game of football, it's a lot of fun.
Very cool.
All right, that's Heather with the news. Coming up at 8 o'clock, Dan Campbell is hyping up one Lion for the upcoming season. Coming up next, we're talking about Michigan State football. Critical hire, the new AD. It's 97.1.
Hey, you guys, it's me. And if you're like me, you like knowing what to expect, especially when it comes to your phone bill. Well, Verizon's got some big news for your peace of mind. For the first time ever, they're locking in low prices for 3 years. That's right, 3 years guaranteed with my plan. So if you're thinking about making the switch to Verizon, this is for you. You can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's Verizon's best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus tax and fees. And again, that price is locked in for 3 whole years. Because at Verizon, they've got your back now and in the future. So go ahead, take one thing off your worry list. Visit your local Verizon store in Detroit and ask about their 3-year price guarantee today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Michigan State set to hire their next athletic director, Jay Bratt, Georgia Tech. And John, everything I've read about this guy seems like a great hire.
Yeah, really does. And you look at his previous stops and you think, okay, well, he's done good for those athletic departments. And I think the key part for him, the most important part of any athletic director hire at this point, is fundraising.
Yep.
And whether it is fundraising for facilities that continually need to be upgraded, updated, it's an arms race when you're recruiting. And it's not just, we always talk about football, and we'll get there in a moment. But it is, whether it's, you know, it's your basketball facilities, it's your baseball, your softball facilities, it's everything that is in and around college athletics all boils down to, how much money do you have to spend? How big is your athletic department? Can you continue to keep the staff? Can you continue to compete in all these different sports? Because the Big Ten has more sports, more varsity sports, than any other conference.
It's a huge critical hire for Michigan State. Like, this is a critical time for the athletic department. Their football program has had a losing record for the last five seasons. As an athletic department, they've lost money four of the last 5 years. Tom Izzo is near the end of his tenure at Michigan State, and you'll need to make a big-time basketball hire in the near future. Hell, they may be making a big football hire at the end of this upcoming season. And if that sounds crazy, think about it. He didn't hire this football coach, and they were underwhelming at the end of last season. And if they roll out, what was the preseason win total? Another five wins? Yeah, I mean, yeah. If they're on the under, I mean, did Jonathan Smith bring over his own guys? Yes. Did it look very good last fall? No. If it doesn't look good again this fall, these are big high-level decisions. I think your job as an AD is, one, fundraising, and he's a fundraising dynamo, but two, it's hiring and firing football and basketball coaches, and they may have to do that in the next 2 years here.
Well, what do you need to do if you're going to fire a coach and hire a coach?
Buyouts and pay? Yes. You need money.
So again, you're going to need money. You're going to need to identify big-time donors, convince them to give you big-time money, and it could be multiple times over a decade. It could be multiple times, you know, over 5 years, and in different forms, because you have a need as an athletic department to pay your staff, to pay your coaches, and to upgrade facilities. You also have to have the ability, even if rev share is coming, and it is, it's been a long, drawn out process, you're still going to have NIL dollars as a part of it. And the head of your organization is your athletic director. That is, you could talk about collectives, and they're the ones that are, yes, they're raising money, but it all comes back to the leadership of the athletic department and your athletic director.
He generated and helped generate nearly $300 million since 2022 at Georgia Tech, and that was towards renovating their football stadium, as well as improvements to the basketball center, the gymnasium, all this stuff. That's a big number, $300 million that you're spearheading at a program, Georgia Tech, that does not have the cachet of Michigan State. State's giving him a pretty big raise from what they were paying Allen Howard. There's a commitment to paying money to make money, to be one of the big boys. And I think this is a critical juncture for their athletic department, because in the Big Ten football-wise, which is what drives the bus on all of this, there is a danger in being left behind, right? In this haves and have-nots, MSU has said, hey, we'll throw money at Mel Tucker. Didn't work out. We're going to throw money at Bratt here. We're going to invest money, but they got to start getting it right consistently, because the Big Ten is bigger now. You have Michigan and Ohio State, but also Oregon, and Washington's been very good competing for a national title. And I don't think USC is going to be dormant forever out in Southern California. There is a real fight to even stay in the top half of the Big Ten if you're Michigan State. And that's why a hire like this is so important.
Well, it's we have no idea how long Coach Izzo's going to coach.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine in 5 years, within 5 years, are they going to be hiring a new basketball coach? Within a year, 2 years, whatever, a new football coach?
Could be.
What you're going to have to do to sell the next coach.
I have resources available.
Yes, I have resources. And, I mean, Dusty May, when he was looking at, or I don't know if he was ever looking at it, but when it came up about the whole Indiana job and he got the contract extension, what was it? It was more money for him, more money for his assistant coaches, but also more money committed in an NIL to attract basketball players. If you're taking a job in this day and age as a head coach, you want to know that there's buy-in financially, that you're going to have the resources to be able to go out there and pay players. That's part of the business of college sports.
And let's say it doesn't work for Jonathan Smith. I don't know. Jury's out. It was not a great first year. If year two is not very good, these are real conversations. A coach is going to want to bring his own guys, and to bring his own guys, he's going to need to pay them. I really think the way you have to build now, unless you're a Georgia or a blue blood, you're going to have to win the portal game, right? Like for a school like Michigan State, I don't know that they're going to go out and get blue chip classes stacked year after year after year. They're going to have to win in the portal. And to do that, they're going to have to bring bags of cash along with them each and every offseason. So it's a fundraiser.
Yep.
Yes, that's the number one thing that they should have hired. And they did hire that. You mentioned basketball coach, by the way. I want to connect a dot. If Izzo does walk away in the next year, two, three, four, you said even five. I think he'll be gone by five. Do you know who crossed paths with Bratt in his previous stops?
No.
He was at Georgia Tech, but before that, he was at Alabama. Alabama's head basketball coach, Nate Oates, has some ties, coached high school in Romulus. Does that make that more realistic that you get Nate Oates when Izzo's done? Like that's a thing that I had circled in his resume that may come up down the line here.
It's about connections,
yep.
Familiarity, but it really is going to come down to money.
Yep.
And there are, there are blue chip programs in football, in basketball, in any sport that they are going to be looking for that, the highest rated recruiting class coming in. But those are fewer and fewer. We had this while the tournament was going on. The leading scorers, the rosters of the teams that were competing for national championships, those that were competing in the Final Four, had all spent money in the transfer portal.
You can loathe it, but it's what sports have come down to at the collegiate level. It's do you have the money?
You can loathe it all you want, but you have to identify and you have to at least come to the realization that this is the business of college sports for the foreseeable future, and it's only those numbers are only going to continue to go up. So if you don't have the financial backing to be able to pay players in the transfer portal to attract them, you're not going to be able to in turn attract coaches that are going to be able to put together a program that is going to be a winning program. And if you start falling behind, and it's okay, 1 year as a new coach, like that's, you get a mulligan. But you can't start falling behind when there are 18 teams in your conference and you have teams like Oregon, you have teams like Ohio State, Penn State, other programs that are spending money, not just in football, but in basketball and in other sports.
So what we want from Spartan fans is your thoughts on the hire. Jay Batt is the new athletic director at Michigan State. I think this is a critical time for the school, for the athletic department. You may be hiring basketball and football coaches again in the next couple seasons. We want to know from you whether you like the hire. Fundraising background sure checks the box, but also his biggest challenge, his biggest focus, and John's thought there about falling behind in the Big Ten and being left behind. What are the keys for Michigan State moving forward? It's 97.1.
When it comes to an IRS collection or audit, you need a law firm that specializes in the resolution of all types of tax problems. And when dealing with the world's largest civil law enforcement agency, your case can take a lot of twists and turns. Your first call, your only call, should be to Abraham and Rose. They're prepared to advocate on your behalf, no matter if it's civil or criminal or even the Michigan Department of Treasury. So whether it's personal income tax or business payroll taxes that got you jammed up, you're going to need a real team of local lawyers, someone that you can actually see and talk to, not a tax organization with a random individual that you're never going to meet. Visit abrahamandrose.com today or call 248-539-5040 so you never personally have to deal with the IRS.
Spending a little time on Michigan State, we want to hear from you guys, Spartan fans out there. You got a new athletic director, and this is a critical hire for the program. We are going to talk Lions. We have some audio from Dan Campbell hyping up one Lion for a big season. With Michigan State, they hire Jay Batt. He comes from Georgia Tech. Fundraising dynamo in an era where money is everything in college athletics. Raised over $300 million to upgrade facilities at Georgia Tech. Not Georgia, Georgia Tech. So this is critical for MSU. You don't want to get left behind in a bigger Big Ten. Your football program has had a losing record for the last 5 years. Your athletic department has run a deficit four of the last 5 years. You could be hiring new basketball and football coaches in the next 2 years. This hire is beyond critical for Michigan State. If this guy is the guy, you're going to pivot from Izzo, maybe to Nate Oates or somebody else. You're going to have, hopefully, a football program on the rise. If it's not Jonathan Smith, you pull the plug, you get somebody else in, and you give them money to recruit, because you're not getting blue chip classes out of high school. You're going to need to win the portal, and to win the portal, you need sacks of cash. So Jay Batt, I like the hire on paper, but it is so important that they get this right.
And I mean, it is always about money. And this on the heels where maybe there's not a lot of immediate concerns in upgrades of facilities, because I mean,
they've done some work.
2 years ago, we heard about them unveiling the new locker room for the football team and some of the upgrades that they made there. It's not that you ever stand pat. You always are upgrading things, and maybe it's the weight room. Maybe it, and I'm just throwing things out. I have
you
no
taken
idea
a tour
about
of the facilities recently.
No, okay. But there's, you know, every year or every couple of years, there's going to be upgrades. There's going to be updates. There's going to be things that you have to continually do to make sure that you are amongst the best in terms of facilities. But if some of those are already there, now it shifts to, what are we paying our coaches? If we have to make a change, can we afford a buyout? Can we afford a new coach?
Yep.
All of these different things, along with revenue share, which is going to be a huge part of every athletic department moving forward, an increase or at least a redistribution of $20 to $22 million, sounds like in year one, that's going to all athletes and not going to facility maintenance, facility upkeep,
right,
staff. And so it to me, the biggest challenge for any athletic director, but especially one that is going to be new to a school, is going to be fundraising.
Some ticket texts. As a Spartan fan, I don't care what happens with our football program anymore. They'll never be good. Put them in the MAC at this point. Put all our resources into basketball and hockey.
I mean, I think football's always going to be a part of the conversation. I understand their frustration.
I do too.
But I mean, the crown jewel has and will continue to be their basketball program.
And hockey's on the rise.
Sure. Yeah.
But football and basketball drive the bus is the point.
That's the challenge of being an athletic director at a Big Ten school. You're looking at 26, 27, 28 varsity sports that no one wants to cut.
Right.
But you've got to pay those coaches. You're going to have revenue share paying some of those athletes. Scholarship numbers are going up. You can have up to 105 if the whole, you know, House versus NCAA all ends up going through. The roster limit of 105, but there's no minimum of scholarships. Not eight or maximum. It's not 85 anymore. You can give all of those. It's increased scholarships in baseball, softball, hockey. Basketball. It all, men's and women's.
Longtime MSU football season ticket holder here who let his tickets go for the upcoming season. The sport changed, and it's not in our favor. I like the kids sticking around for 4 years. We had an identity. We can't thrive in this new environment. I don't blame the kids. I don't have to like it either. Right, but if you're going to compete in this area, you need to hire someone like Jay Batt.
Yeah.
You need to hire someone who's going to win the fundraising battle, because that's how you win the on-court, on-field, on-ice battle, all of it. As a Spartan, I'd personally fold the program. Yeah, not a great response today, John.
Ouch.
Maybe he'd be willing to cheat. It definitely turned around Michigan's program, and they never got in trouble for it. It's clear cheaters are winners. This is really our batch of ticket techs on this. All right.
Not a positive bunch.
No. I like the hire.
Well,
on paper,
too.
You like the hire.
I do too. And I think it's a great move for Michigan State Athletics. And it's going to be outside of the fundraising. It's going to be, what are they doing with Jonathan Smith?
Yeah.
And what are they going to do with the eventual replacement of Tom Izzo?
What did you make of my thought that, like, Jonathan Smith's coaching for his job this season? This AD did not hire him. They had a losing record last year. If they have back-to-back losing records and none of these Oregon State guys are any good, what program are you building? You're not winning in the recruiting battles. You don't have transfer portal guys that you brought over that are having success. I mean, how much did we hear about Jack Velling, Aiden Childs? I mean, go up and down the list. I don't feel like they got what they were sold, which was a turnkey transfer portal crop that could get them more competitive.
Well, it does come down to leadership. And what does that relationship between Bat and Jonathan Smith look like? And how does he provide leadership to Jonathan Smith? Does he feel like, as he gets to know Jonathan Smith, like, there is something I can really work with here? Right. And I could give him the guidance. I can give him the leadership, the mentorship. He's a good coach. Here are the resources that he needs. And if he's given those resources moving forward, can we? It's always cheaper to produce and develop the coaches that you have than it is to make a change.
But you also have to have the boldness and the vision to know, I got to pull the plug if it's not working, which will be...
That's part of the equation.
And I think the Izzo thing is murkier because, I mean, he runs that program, and you could argue he runs the university's athletic departments. He's going to call his own shots when he leaves. Is he going to want to pick his replacement? And if you're an athletic director, how much of that is, no, that's my job. We're going to move forward with the guy I want to hire, not the guy you want to hire.
Again, it's about the relationship that he builds with Tom Izzo.
Yeah.
And I got to believe part of that interview process is, as they're looking, like, what is his interaction with Coach Izzo?
Right.
Because he is Coach Izzo, whether it's him as a coach or him as a retired coach, will still have major influence
yep.
on the basketball program and the athletic department.
Michigan State, in the news, new athletic director, critical hire. Okay, we said we'd talk about the Lions. Dan Campbell audio, he spoke on Friday, and he hit on a couple things and some vets that are unhappy with their contracts, but he also singled out someone who he could not stop praising. We'll get to that next, 97.1.